locked the door and shifted my computer bag to brace myself for the impending Happy Jack attack. Except when I opened the door, it didn't come. "Jack?" I called out, curious. Following his whimpered response, I found the 120-pound adolescent German Shepherd staring forlornly at Callie's closed bedroom door. "Hey, sweet boy," I said, crouching down to scratch his shoulders and to let him sniffle my neck. "She probably just wants to sleep. Want a treat?" Jack wagged his way into the kitchen while I quickly peeked into my roommate's bedroom. Inside, Callie snored softly as she slept. "She's fine." After rewarding Jack's amazing abilities to sit, shake hands, "Nice to meet you," and play dead, bang. I plopped down on my bed and opened my laptop. Jack hopped up and settled in next to me, causing a bedquake. Cam, my adorable boyfriend, wouldn't get home from work for another half hour. Rubbing Jack's velvety ear, I decided to write a nice long email to my best friend Zoe. She had neither answered when I'd called during my walk home, nor responded to my texts. The woman worked like crazy, and we hadn't chatted in days. Besides, writing to her would kill time and help me avoid doing anything productive on my birthday. Genius. Date, December 4th, 4:30 p.m. From Danielle O'Connor to Zoe Cartwright. Subject, birthday heresy. "Zoe, I can't believe we're apart on a birthday. It's practically heretical. Thank you so much for the amazing drawing. It's totally perfect. I can't believe how many details you remembered from that night. Cam was super impressed too. Anyway, how was your date with Mr. 58? Or was it Mr. 85? You promised to give me juicy details, but alas, I've heard nothing from my wayward Zoe. It's the blonde guy, right? Or was that the last one? Gah, I can't keep up. Give me an ooey gooey nitty gritty description of everything, please. On a totally different note, the flu is getting pretty bad over here. Is it bad in Salem too? This morning I took Callie to the doctor and Zoe, I'm really worried about her. She's so pale and weak. Actually, she looks just like you did when you had that H1N1 virus a few years ago. Cam's been making soup for her. He's so sweet. Besides, his cooking is a gazillion times better than whatever I'd conjure up. My food might make her feel worse. So, I'm sure you want to know about tonight's birthday plans. Cam, sigh, drool, is taking me to his restaurant and then to that Irish pub. You know, the one where you had too many Long Islands and danced on the table. Anyway, Cam said he invited everyone we know to the pub. But considering that over half of Seattle seems to be sick, I'm guessing less than a dozen people will show. Whatever, I'm just excited to get out and have some fun. Oh, gotta go. Cam just got home and is harping on me to get changed for dinner. I guess soggy jeans aren't classy enough. I'll give you a recap tomorrow, assuming I'm not too hungover to open my eyes. Danny. We'd been at the pub for several hours when Jamie's pink designer stiletto jabbed my shin. "Did you hear about that student who died today?" she asked. My food and alcohol-induced semi-coma receded momentarily, allowing me to process her eager words. Always the drama queen, that Jamie. She never knew when to keep her mouth shut, so we constantly butted heads. Sighing, I grumbled, "What are you talking about?" "Oh, so you don't know." Jamie's eyes narrowed with vindictive pleasure. Not for the first time that night, I mentally cursed Cam for inviting her. "Evidently not," I replied dryly. "Yeah." Her chest heaved with delight as she explained. "Some undergrad died of the flu. You know, the one that everyone has right now. You do at least know about that, right? So now people are dying from it. Doesn't Callie have it too?" Hateful bitch, I thought viciously. I never really liked Jamie, and my concern about Callie clouded my judgment, along with the 3 vodka tonics and the glass of champagne. "You're a hateful bitch," I retorted. The statement